Before we get started this morning, I want to do something that is really important, and I want to do a shout out to the Christmas team that put this series together and made this all possible, from the creative side of things to these amazing like stained glass windows, to the band, to the visual stuff, to the Advent stuff on social media, Instagram, all of that sort of stuff. So guys, thank you so much for like going above and beyond, and for making this Christmas series just that, like a series, pulling bits and pieces together and using your creativity and blessing us. So guys, we just want to put our hands together and say thank you. So much behind the scenes stuff goes on that we miss out on, but are blessed by. And were it not for these teams, stuff just wouldn't happen. And so that goes beyond just the general Christmas team to all the service teams this year. Family, thank you so much for the part that you have played in making this year possible. This is our last Sunday together for 2016, and so I just wanted to say, for all the bits and pieces, from being in life groups and coming and helping hosting, to being on the coffee team and at the door, connections, all those different bits and pieces, you make things happen, and you so belong here, and we so value your input, and it is massive to the children's ministries that run upstairs, to youth group and the life groups that run on different nights of the week. It's all huge, and I'm just know that like I'm taking it upon myself to say thank you from everybody, but that's also a personal thank you. I'm just so honored and blessed to be a part of a family who is ready to get in and amongst and make things happen. And so, guys, I love you, and thank you for letting me be a pastor here. Because who's a pastor? Or what's a pastor when there's nobody here, kind of thing. So you guys make it possible. So thank you so much. It is a true honor and a blessing to call you my family, and to have shared life with you. So thank you. And I pray, my prayer this coming summer is that you would all know that you would know the favor of God resting upon you, that you would know that He smiles towards you, sings over you, and that you just feel and experience His love over the summer break like never before. So that's my prayer for you guys, and thank you once more. All right. All good, guys. So moving into the last chapter of this series, and doing a quick recap, because I know not everybody has been able to be here for each of the Sundays. And so for the first Sunday, we looked at how Christmas is a season of hope, and that hope brings about celebration. And we looked at that it is not just like a season of hope, as in I hope I get this, but a season of hope in Jesus, the one who came to save this world, to save you and I, and to show us the extravagant, unconditional, unfathomable love that God has for you and I. Last week, we looked at how Christmas is a season of expectation in Jesus, the one who is present now and is still doing a good work, that it didn't just finish at Christmas, but that God is still doing a good work in you and through you, and you have a purpose, and that we are invited to, during the Christmas season, because of the Christmas season or the message of Christmas, we are invited to expect more or place our expectations in the person of Jesus, because He is the only one who will never fail us. And so those are the two truths and Sundays that we have celebrated so far. And this morning we are going to take some time to look at how Christmas is a season of adoration in Jesus. Christmas is a season of adoration in Jesus, the one who this season is truly about. I'm hoping that we've got that by now, that Christmas is actually about Jesus. The one we celebrate, who we set our hope on and place our expectations in. I was truly blessed to have been able to get away for a bit of a holiday before the Christmas season and travel a little bit around Europe. And when I was doing that, I got to do a lot of one of my favorite things to do, which was, any guesses?
Coffee?
Yes, I got to do that, but that wasn't it. Mariah Carey. Yes, we actually listened to Mariah Carey while we're over there. The amazing thing with Europe is that they start celebrating Christmas in October. So I know what I'm doing like every October from now on. Just go over there, winter markets. It's amazing. No, but I heard somebody yell out churches. Yes, I got to go to churches. And not just like general churches, like a place like this. I got to visit a lot of cathedrals. Because cathedrals, to me, are actually special places. I know that a lot of people have interesting opinions about cathedrals, and they think that they're imposing and dark and cold and that kind of thing. But let me see you build a building 500 years ago. Yeah. It's going to be dark and cold probably now. That wasn't meant to be personal, by the way. But if we build a cathedral, I'm all about it. That would be awesome. But the thing with cathedrals that I love is that each one of them generally tells a story, but each one of them, there is so much craftsmanship that goes into it. And it took over 100 years to build these places. And these individuals who were just like tradesmen or like craftsmen in their different trades would come and they would use their ability for the glory of God. And they would build these places that were sacred and places set aside for worship and sanctuary, rest. And I know that religion is an interesting thing and it kind of messes a lot of these things up. But in terms of just the simplicity of just a space marked out for God, cathedrals for me seem to really connect me in some way to God and to knowing his closeness, that it's just a space marked out. And that's why we this year, for our series, went with Advent. We went with Advent because it is something that the church has celebrated for over 1,500 years. And the whole idea of Advent, literally the word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. And it was this idea of preparing for the coming of Jesus or the celebration of the day that was marked out that Jesus came. And so that's what Advent's all about. And just like cathedrals being spaces marked out for God, Advent was a season marked out to celebrate God with us. That it wasn't no longer what we've talked about. It wasn't just hoping that he would turn up, but that he has turned up. And he has come, and he came as a baby, and he concealed his glory and put on flesh, and he came to be with us. And so that's why we have celebrated this season Advent. And we've had little bits and pieces. I'm on social media and have had times of encouragement where we just want to basically take times throughout our day where we just take a little bit of time and we create a little bit of space to connect with God and the truth of his word. Because when his people are in his word, we are promised that they will be changed forever. And I don't know about you, but I'm really thankful for each day having like read the little thought and the passage and the prayer, just taking that moment out and to just go, okay, God, I'm thankful for your truth. And it has changed me. And it's also encouraged me to have conversation with others who have also read something similar. So it's just amazing how just taking a little bit of time out can actually make a massive change. So often we commit ourselves to like, I'm going to be a better person and I'm going to like change the world and we set these massive goals and all of that. But before we can do any of that, we have to spend time with Jesus because it's through him and only through him that any of that stuff can happen. And it starts small. It really does start small. Just connecting to God day to day, moment by moment. Taking time to be in his word, or just talking to him in prayer, or putting on a song and singing your heart out. Whatever that looks like for you, going and finding a cathedral and sitting in it and spending some time, just do it. Because our Savior Jesus came so that we could have a relationship with him. and be intimate with him and to know his love and to be empowered by his spirit so that this world would forever be changed. So it starts there. It's really simple. And so I want to get back to the story, because the story of Christmas really is the most important piece. And so this morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 to 10. Matthew chapter 2, verse 7 to 10. So open your turn on your devices, open your Bibles, but it's also going to be up on the screen. So from verse 7, carrying on from where we left off last week, it says this. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him. I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. I want to stop there and say that it would be really easy for us to think that the Magi were pumped because they had finally made it to their destination. Who knows that feeling? I mean, like, even this summer, as we head to, like, the different places that we're going to be, whether it be on Christmas Day and we're driving to see family or we're going on holiday or whatever that might look like, we all know that feeling of when you finally get to your destination and there's between you and rest or you and family or you and good times or you and whatever it is, and it's kind of like the dreaded trip, and then you relax, or then you're with family, or then you're having the good time. And we could easily read this. The star comes to a stop, they look up, and they're pumped because they've finally made it to their destination. We could read it that way, but that would be a mistake to read it that way. And as I was prepping for this, this leapt off the page to me, and it was like I was being filled up and taught a lot by just this one word, or this fact that the Magi, when they saw the star come to a stop, they were overjoyed. And the reason that I was that I'm pumped about just this one particular word is because of the meaning of this word. Now, in the English, we read overjoyed. We read overjoyed, or some translations say they rejoiced. Like, and so it's easy to be mistaken that they were pumped, that they were finally there, that they made it. Are we there yet? No. Parents are like, "Oh my gosh, worst question of my life." Quiet, children. But what it actually says in the Greek is really interesting. That when we read overjoyed, they actually have four words. Four words. We read overjoyed, and they have four words. And each one of them has a different meaning. And so I'm going to go there this morning, because for me, man, this is some good stuff. The first word that we read when we read overjoyed, and this is an order that they appear, is chairo. Can we have that word come up? So chairo. There we go. Which means to delight in God's grace. Whoa. All of a sudden, it's already picking up on a different connotation than what we thought it did. Delighting in God's grace, rejoice, literally to experience God's grace, favor, be conscious, glad for his grace. That's amazing. So we read they were overjoyed and think they were pumped that they were there, and the first thing that they're saying is they're delighting in God's grace. It's amazing. The next word is kaha. My mouth is kind of dry, so it's sounding funny. Next word is kaha, which is coming up on the screen. No. Which means the awareness of God's grace, or grace recognized. No, we're still not up there. So the awareness of God's grace, or grace recognized. So this isn't just about delighting in God's grace. This is a realization that grace is personal. It's more than it being like this large concept, but going, man, this is for me. This is for me. The word following on after that is megas, which is where we get the word mega from, megas. And it means in the widest sense. So we think mega as in something large, but they're saying, no, it's to, in the widest sense. It's larger than large. It's huge. It's bigger than huge. It's to the widest sense. And then the last word is sphodra. Sphodra. Which means this, all out, exceeding very much. I love this way. It's like there was an English person in the mix here. Proper. Proper. That's proper. Done to the max, going all out, wide open, with total effort, like doing something with a vengeance. This is personal, and this is emotional. This is going all out, like doing something with a vengeance. Like we think of that in like a, often in a negative connotation, but when you're going all out, like you want to win that game more than any other game in that season, then you give all that you've got and you go at it with a vengeance. You put it, you leave it on the field. In other words, when we read that the Magi were overjoyed, they were actually delighting in God's grace as they experienced it and were made aware of it in the widest sense by going all out. Delighting in God's grace as they experienced it and were made aware of it in the widest sense by going all out. This was no mere hurrah. This was not a backyard party. These guys were going for it. There was abundant joy. There was celebration and there was delighting in the grace of God as they saw the star come to a halt above where the Savior of the world lay. We often read the story and because it's so foreign to our context, these magi or wise men or scientists or so many opinions about who they actually were, following a star that comes to a halt and they follow it. If somebody told you that, you would think they're smoking something today. And so the context of this just like seems so like, what is going on? But I truly believe that they knew where they were going and who they would see. Because even before they saw Jesus, when that star came to a halt, they delighted in God's grace as they experienced it and were made aware of it in their personal lives in the widest sense, and so they went all out. The definition of being overjoyed for the Magi was more than like a bunch of high fives and like a, we made it. So much more than that. Because God's grace is so much more than that. Verse 11 to 12 carries on and says this. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When the Magi entered and saw the baby Jesus for the first time, they saw the grace of God in flesh. And they had no other response but to bow down and worship. When they saw Jesus for the first time, they knew that they were seeing the grace of God in flesh. And they bowed down in response in worship to who he was. They're called wise men for a reason. They recognized who the Savior of the world was. And I also think that a part of why they were so wise, it's because they did what we should all be doing daily, bowing in worship. And in the presence of the one who loves us greatly and who came so that we could be connected to him, and have personal relationship with him. He dealt with the sin issue once and for all. When he came to this earth and he stretched out his hands and he said, guys, it is finished. No more. It is dealt with. The wages of sin is death. And so I'm going to die. So that you may have the free gift of grace and eternal life. The message of Christmas is so beautiful and powerful. And this is why we celebrate it. And this is why I'm big on it. Yes, I love Mariah Carey and Christmas trees and presents and family times and all the other things. Christmas coffees, and normally I don't drink milk and coffee, but Christmas is one expectation because then you can have flavored syrups, which I normally don't also have. So you can see the exceptions that I make for Christmas. All of that is great. That is good things. We should enjoy life. We should enjoy life. God did not plot us on this planet to be miserable and to mope around. But more than that, he has given us a hope which enables us to be more than miserable and mope around. But to know him personally, and when we know him personally, everything has changed. He resources us with all that we need. And he invites us. And this is the message of Christmas, an invitation to come before him and bow down in his grace and what he has already done and accomplished on my behalf, on your behalf. This is why we celebrate. This is why we rejoice. This is why we sing a bunch of carols before the service. This is why we hang out as a community after the service. Through there, we mix and mingle. We love one another because we were first loved. And basically, I'm just going to wrap it up now because I don't know. I kind of feel like that's it. And what I would say, when it comes to adoring Jesus and who he is, we have to understand this. We have to understand this. We adore him because he first adored us. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. We love him because he first loved us. We delight in his grace because he first delighted in us. If you struggle with Christmas, the one thing that I could say, because I don't know your story, and I know that things can go wrong and times of the year can have connotations because of things that happen in our past. We do not celebrate Christmas because of the ghosts of Christmas past. We do not celebrate Christmas because of that, but because of who Jesus is and his grace for us. We have a decision. Will we let the love of God envelop us? Will we open our hearts to the love that he has for us? And so the band's going to come up, and we sing songs like "O Come, Let Us Adore Him," because when you meet Jesus, because when you meet Jesus, and you begin to delight, something's taken off. Because when you meet Jesus, and you begin to delight in his grace, as you experience it, and are made more aware of it in the widest sense, you worship by going all out. Because when you meet Jesus, and you begin to delight in His grace, and experience it for yourself, and recognize it in your own life, you bow down and you worship Him by going all out. Because Jesus went all out for you. He went all out for you. He put it all on the table. He said, I love you so much that I will send my one and only Son. That whoever believes in Him won't die, but will have eternal life. And if this morning you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, then the invitation for you this Christmas season is come as you are. Delight in my grace that I have given you, that I have provided for you. Come to me. Believe in me. And I will give you forgiveness of sins. I love you. I love you. The invitation of Christmas is one of power, is life-changing, is course-altering, is culture-shifting, is hope-giving, is expectation-building, and adoration-worthy. The message of Christmas enables us to enter into the presence of God, because it is about God Himself, God with us, coming to this earth and doing all that was needed, and then at the very end saying, it is finished, now come to me. So, family, I invite you to stand and to sing. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Because it is an invitation that we have in the person of Jesus. And just as the Magi did when they came to the person of Jesus and they saw Him for the first time and they bowed down before Him, they laid their gifts, or better said, treasures of gold and frankincense and myrrh. All of those were prophetic gifts about the ministry of Jesus and what He would do. Gold is the metal of kings to the King of Kings. Frankincense is what would be given to a priest who is entering, and he is the great high priest. And myrrh, well, funnily enough, that was used by in that time for two reasons. Firstly, myrrh was used in the act of healing and forgiveness. They would place it on myrrh. They would place it on that person as they were seeking forgiveness and healing. But the other thing that they were doing was that myrrh, and this is probably the craziest bit of it all, myrrh was used to embalm the dead. To embalm the dead. And so these gifts that these men laid before Jesus were prophetic gifts, and that they recognized who Jesus was and why He had come. Gold for the king, frankincense for the priest, and myrrh for the one who would bring forgiveness and healing through His death. So we celebrate Him. And we say, thank you, Jesus. So invite you to stand, to kneel, whatever you need to do in the presence of Jesus right now. And give Him all the glory, to adore Him for what He has done.